Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio.
And a very good evening to you. Welcome to Election Agenda. I'm James Davis, and this evening we continue our run-up to the general election, in which we speak to the Manx government ministers in Tony Brown's government, who'll be seeking re-election when the Isle of Man goes to the polls in September. My guest this evening has represented his constituency for more than 25 years. He's the island's Community, Culture and Leisure Minister. He's also a member of the Manx Labour Party, describing himself from time to time as the Minister of Fun. It is, of course, South Douglas MHK David Cretney. Mr. Cretney, welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, James.
South Douglas, of course, your area, an area where you were romped home now nearly 5 years ago, with exactly, I think, 1,000 more votes than your nearest challenger. Would you expect to do the same again?
Well, the people of South Douglas have been really nice to me over the last 26 years. I was elected in a by-election in April 1985 and had six elections since then. They've been very kind to me over the time. I think the vast majority of people recognise that we have difficult decisions to make right now. If they look at their televisions or if they read their newspapers, they see that the world is a different place and we need to make economies. We need to be more efficient in what we do in government. And that takes difficult decisions. And I think that they recognise that. And they recognise, I think, and I hope, that I'm honest, trustworthy, and hopefully they'll support me.
I ask you that, of course, because obviously it's been a bit of a turbulent past 12 months for you since you returned to the tourism arm, if you like, community, culture and leisure. First, unrest at the bus timetable and staff conditions, then railway redundancies. And this, of course, I think on the day it's confirmed the majority of bus drivers say they'd consider strike action.
It has been a more difficult time, but I think it's all around difficult decisions which are required to be made. I think there's no point in being kind of trying to fool the public. Anybody who underestimates the intelligence of the electorate will get caught up on eventually. And I'm not one who's into that. I'm making difficult decisions at the time now, prior to the election, because I think that we owe it to the public to be honest, and that's all I do.
So you believe your department's being honest. Do you actually think lots of your colleagues, if re-elected, will perhaps have to make the tough decisions that your department's doing, savings, redundancies, etc., but are hoping to put them off until after the general election?
What I would say is I do believe that after the election there will be further savings which are required to be made. We've had already the re-evaluation of the VAT agreement. The United Kingdom and the Irish governments are both in real deep trouble financially. I want to try and ensure that we don't get into that situation, and I do believe by taking the actions we're taking now, that's the right thing to do. I'm sure, though, that following the election, there will be further difficult decisions because there's no question the UK government will be back.
On the railways now, who really is to blame for the posts, it's only five, being sacrificed? Or is it literally just something has to give?
Well, what's happened is that portion of the business, and government isn't a business, but if it was operated as such, has changed the way it does things. We've changed the way we do certain elements of the work. And so what's happened is that those people, unfortunately, it was 22 to start with, and it's ended up with five posts, unfortunately, being made redundant, which have been confirmed at appeal. But there is still the opportunity for them to consider an industrial tribunal to see whether we've handled everything right.
But do you believe you have?
I believe we have, yes, because I'm advised by officers and I've been very much involved. In fact, it was my initiative to get involved around the table with the Unite the Union, who represents the majority of staff there. And what's happened is that there have been certain changes, but I believe it will actually ensure the future of the railways in a better way. When departments come under pressure after the election and are required to make further savings, we can say, well, this is what we've done already. We have a more efficient organisation in the railways, and as such, you can keep away from them, because for me, the railways are a very important part of the tourism offering, and it's something which is loved by locals. And so I don't want to see that threatened. I think if we were seen to be not running the organisation efficiently, not looking for new income, not finding savings, then that could come under threat.
But when you see an ad, there was an ad in the paper about 3 weeks ago now, it was a personal attack on you, completely unnecessary, of course, just from the union regarding these redundancies. Does that something like that hurt?
Of course it does. I'm a human. Despite the fact I've been a member of the House of Keys for 26 years, my skin hasn't grown as thick as perhaps it should have done. Of course it hurts. But at the same time, I believe that people will look at that advert and they will make their own decisions about it.
Obviously, there's terms and conditions for workers and to be changed here. There's questions being asked that if people at the other end of the scale are having their conditions changed, what about those in the 40, 50, 60,000 pounds plus £70,000 a year pay bracket in your department?
Yeah, well, there's comment for quite some time about management posts and that there were too many managers in the operation. And so at my initiative, again, this wasn't something which was forced upon me. This wasn't something which required a Timwood resolution. I decided that what we needed to have was an independent review of the management structure at the Isle of Man Railways. That's been undertaken by Beaman's consultants, who do this type of thing, and indeed have done it in the past for the railways. They've come back now with a report. That report will be shared with any party who wants to see it, in particular with the trade unions. And if there are any recommendations in there in terms of savings and management, I won't hesitate to follow those recommendations.
Now, you were the man who put Tony Brown forward nearly 5 years ago now, backed him for Chief Minister, for which he received support, of course, when initially three candidates who came forward didn't garner enough support. How do you think the government, of which you're a part under his tenure, has fared over the past 4.5 years?
Well, first of all, why I supported Tony Brown, why I proposed Tony Brown, was he's been a member of the House of Keys longer than me. But when I was first elected, I saw that Tony Brown was somebody who could get things done. In those days, there were 3,000 people out of work. There were hardly any reserves to speak of. And yet Tony Brown, together with others, got things done. He also had a really good grasp of parliamentary procedures. So it was on that basis that I offered my support, because I hope that I've proved over the years I'm somebody who can get things done. Just look at the National Sports Centre. Just look at the Villa Marina. You know, I'm not somebody who sits around. I'm not somebody who shouts from the sidelines. I'm somebody who gets things done working as a team member. And there have been ups and downs. There's no question. And again,
isn't there in any government?
Well, of course there is. And again, if you look at the time latterly, in particular, when the world globally, that there are difficult times, and we talk about redundancies. There have been a number of redundancies in the Department of Education on the island. There have been a number of redundancies, 25, I understand, at Ronaldsway Aircraft recently. I feel very sorry for each and every one of those people who've been affected by that action, but it's what happens, unfortunately, in the real world, and it's something we have to deal with. But I haven't heard a lot of fuss from members of the House of Keys about any of those other redundancies.
You talk about a team there. You recognise collective responsibility. You've not always supported government, of course. Can you honestly say, as a minister, that you can serve without fear or favour? I mean, would you, if you were forced to compromise your beliefs too much, would you consider your position?
Of course I would. Unlike any of the other ministers in Tony Brown's government, I'm a member of the Manx Labour Party. I have been for 30-odd years. I'm not going to change away from that. And the people of South Douglas, some of whom wouldn't necessarily vote for the Manx Labour Party, and they have said that to me themselves, so I get a personal vote as well, or I have up until now. But people know where I come from. I'm interested in fairness, I'm interested in equality, but I also recognise that in order to provide the best in services, give the best job opportunities, we have to have a very successful economy. And that's why the economy is the most important thing going forward. We need to continue to diversify the economy. We need to continue to make sure the taxes are coming so that we can have the best in public services for those we represent.
Are we diversifying enough? Or are we still too reliant on the financial sector?
Well, who'd have thought that the Isle of Man would feature in the space industry in the way it now does? I'm very proud of some of the activities also of the manufacturing sector. You know, before I became Minister for the Department of Trade and Industry, I was perhaps blissfully ignorant because it's a best-kept secret. And yet we on the Isle of Man have a world-class offering in terms of the manufacturing sector and a number of other areas which we should be, and I think we need to more effectively market and shout from the rooftops in the time ahead, because we're in a very competitive world.
Certainly after the last election, you were appointed and you visited a number of manufacturers, major factories on the island. It's been a difficult time, we know that, turbulent economically. Could government have done any more to prevent, save jobs at the likes of obviously there was the BA, I think there was Strix and Ramsey, Charterhouse, the International Hotel School collapse. Could government have helped prevent that?
I got involved in each and every one of those, and you know, it was kind of a baptism of fire as Minister of the Department of Trade and Industry to get involved and to recognise that these industries, in order to maintain their going forward, in order to maintain the businesses going forward, had to make such decisions. What I was there to do was to make sure that there was support available for people who have found themselves in that situation. And you know, that's why I'm saying that the difficult decisions which I personally had to endorse lately aren't something which I feel relish, but it's something which the reality of this situation requires.
I mean, you mentioned their politics and the Labour Party, party politics. I mean, is there a place for it in the island?
Oh, yes. The Manx Labour Party, I'm very proud of being a member of the Manx Labour Party. There have been some great people who have gone before, and without whom there wouldn't have been things such as the minimum wage, such as the redundancy legislation, amendments to the redundancy legislation were made by myself. Social legislation over the years, but the difference between the Manx Labour Party and some others is that we have always decided the thing to do was to be at the table rather than shouting from the sidelines, and as such I believe in the main we have been able to benefit those people we represent.
So you can achieve more, you believe, from working within government, influencing policy and the like?
Yes, absolutely, and I've gone to the people on each election and made that clear to them that if I were to be offered an opportunity to work with the independents who comprise the majority of government, that would be something which I would take on, and I've always, up until now anyway, been endorsed in that.
I just want to go back actually to your time as Trade and Industry Minister. Almost, and of course you were there for the majority of this parliamentary term, almost the minute you walked through the door, you instigated a review, an independent review of the island's work permit system. Is our work permit legislation now strong enough 4 years on? Does it prevent employees abusing the system?
I think it does, but it can always be adjusted in the future. There were two things which I instigated when I became Minister for Trade and Industry. First of all, was a review of the work permit legislation to make sure it was working effectively. First, for two instances. First of all, to protect Manx workers in certain areas where unemployment was increasing at that time. And secondly, to facilitate for businesses the opportunity for them to expand and to take on further Manx workers in due course. It may be that in the first instance they required to bring skills in from elsewhere, but we need via training and everything else to make sure that Manx workers have the best opportunities. The other thing which I encountered when I stepped through the doors of the Department of Trade and Industry was that there was a change proposed that apprentices in the Isle of Man, in particular in the construction sector, the support for that was going to be withdrawn over a phased period. I didn't believe that was the right thing to do. I worked with the building industry in particular and others, and we now have a lot of young Manx people in work, in apprenticeships, and I think, you know, not only is that important, but also when you look at what's happened in the United Kingdom in terms of promises broken to students at universities, I'm not into that game. If I say something, I do it.
You mentioned government there, but working within, influencing policy. Has government restructuring, reorganisation worked? Is it too early to say?
I think the most important thing, without any question of doubt, was the creation of the Department of Economic Development. that brings together all the strands, including tourism, you know, where we have about 350,000 or perhaps a few more than that people come to spend time on the Isle of Man, come to spend money in our economy. It's absolutely right that that department should be at the forefront of the restructure and at the forefront of our thoughts as matters go forward. There is nothing more important. In order to have the prosperous and caring society which Miles Walker and his government, which Eddie Lowy and Bernie May, both Labour members, were in when things started in the ministerial system, and which I endorse completely today, then we need to make sure that we have a strong economy, and I'm totally committed to that.
Your new department then, it is new compared to the tourism in which you were in. I mean, let's look at the public transport, for example, the MER buses, the Snaefell Mountain Railway. Should government perhaps give up the buses, the railway? I hate to use the word privatise, but would it reduce government costs and wage bills and therefore save money?
It would, and if anybody has concerns about the present discussions which are going on and trying to achieve efficiencies within the bus organisation, you know, we have offered to our bus driving staff an amount of money as compensation for them changing certain working practices to make the organisation more efficient. If they were to be privatised, they would be faced with a completely different situation, and they need to consider that.
Let's talk about the railways then. I mean, a lot of money's been spent in and the buses, a big investment in recent years.
And that's right. You said spent and then you said invested. And it is investment as far as I'm concerned. I mean, only this week we've had the first of our new single-deck buses arriving on the island. I want to encourage as many people as possible to use the bus services, to leave their cars at home. And the only way we're going to do that is by having an efficient service with a good timetable. And we can always make improvements to that. But to encourage people to leave their cars at home and to use the buses, and by having very good, more efficient vehicles, because the new vehicles we've got are 25% more efficient, they're environmentally better, I think that that's a win-win, and I do hope that people take the opportunity to use them.
Well, what about the events? There's obviously been a number of events, new initiatives on the railways, for example. I mean, as far as you're concerned, as long as you're in government and in this role, will there always be support for that type of transport?
Yes, indeed. And there has to be, because, as I say, the elements of this are that we need to reduce our costs, we need to be more efficient in what we do, because, as I said at the start, government isn't a business, but we need to act in a business-like manner. And so we need to reduce our costs and we need to improve the income which we get into the organisation. And so last year we've had things such as the Snaefell Sunset Dinners, the Pie in the Sky, Teddy Bears Picnic, Bonfire Night Specials, Valentine's Day Trains, Mothering Sunday. We've got a Victorian Weekend coming up. All those kind of things encourage people to use our wonderful heritage transport, and as such, they help to reduce the deficiency that they operate under. There always will be a deficiency, but we need to do things as efficiently as we can, and I believe the actions which we've had to take have improved the security for those people who remain employed within the organisation.
Is it the same with the arts, the Villa Gaiety, etc.? I mean, are some things more important than making money? Does that fall into that category as well?
Well, again, you need to look at the history there, and the reason that the government was involved in running the Villa Marina and prior to that Summerland was that the private sector walked away from it. You know, we had mass tourism up until the mid-1970s, I guess, around about that time, and then the world opened up for people to go a whole lot further. And so as such, the numbers of people who were able to be accommodated in the entertainment facilities, which were all the way along Douglas Promenade, I remember, and loved it, you know, I mean, but those times changed. And so as such, the private sector walked away from Summerland. Government had to take it over. And what we're required to do in the Villa Marina right now, in the Gaiety Theatre, I think we're doing a good job, is to, again, minimise our costs, but put on top quality entertainment of all sorts for people to enjoy.
And people will come then?
Absolutely.
I mean, sport...
Quality is the watchword in all we do in government, whether it's the manufacturing sector, whether it's the entertainment, whatever we do. Just look at the sports that we've developed over the last 20-plus years. The facilities are second to none.
Oh, well, I was going to come on to that. I know you hold that close to your heart. Obviously, wonderful facilities. The bowl, the latest one. Now, how important is it for the island for this September's Commonwealth Youth Games to be a success?
Well, it's vital. You know, we've got 69 countries from all around the world. With about 2,500 people will be coming to join us on the Isle of Man. And we have the opportunity not only to put on a great sporting event between the 6th and the 13th of September, but also to take up other opportunities in terms of what the Isle of Man has to offer in terms of people doing business here, for example. The eyes of the world will be focused on the Isle of Man in that period of time, and we need to make the best advantage of that. And in terms of the bowl itself, clearly I was delighted to take the resolution through Tynwald, which got that bowl, which I see as the final part in the jigsaw of the National Sports Centre with the swimming pool, the athletics track, the all-weather surfaces. I see that now as complete, just the same as we did in terms of the Villa Marina and Gaiety Theatre, where, again, unfortunately, it wasn't going anywhere, so government had to step in, take over the Villa Marina. We now have a very good relationship with Douglas Corporation, and they take advantage of the Villa Marina on a couple of occasions as well.
How important is that relationship as a South Douglas member with the council?
Well, I've been, again, this is something which I've taken up.
It was a bit rocky for a while, wasn't it? Not you personally, just generally.
Yeah, well, yes, indeed. In fact, it was non-existent, really. And so I've spoke to the leading councillor, David Christian. I've spoke to others. We've got together. We've had meetings. And the same applied in relation to the police. And I think things are much better now in terms of joined up. But we need to make sure that the initiative is carried forward where all of us who are there to represent the public can work together to achieve the best outcome for those we represent.
I mean, September, we mentioned the Commonwealth Youth Games, the election, of course. You were heavily involved last time out, I think, in plans to make it easier for people to vote for the 16-year-olds. You supported that. And this year, one of those proposals comes into effect because the election's in September. Do you think that will help turnout?
I think the idea was, you know, there were two dates that were being looked at, either September or May as alternatives to the traditional November. And time will tell, and I'm not going to comment at this stage, other than to say the principal idea was that those people who were calling round in the time before the election had the best opportunity, although I look outside the window and it's not a very nice night tonight. But in the months of June, July, August, the theory is that people have the best opportunity to call round, meet the people they wish to represent and have the opportunity to talk to them on the doorstep.
So if re-elected, what are your priorities for the next 5 years?
The economy.
And locally, I mean, I know it's not necessarily the bigger picture, but for a lot of people, it's very inward, isn't it? It's what you do virtually on your doorstep.
Oh, yes. There's no question of that. You know, as I say, the economy has to be the most important thing nationally. But, you know, I'm very proud to have been involved in the redevelopment of the Paul Rose estate, whereby I can remember people who used to have to sleep downstairs in their rooms because it was so cold and drafty in those houses. We've got that completely turned around now as a result of the initiative we took some years ago. And I see the Paul Rose now as the principal estate for people to look at in terms of how it can be best done. And I know there is still work to be done. I know there are still people on housing lists. I know there are still people living in inadequate accommodation. And I want to continue to play my part to assist them. And I think in order to do so, and in order to improve social justice, that's why I hope people will continue to support me.
And do you need to be a minister if re-elected, or would you be content to be a backbencher?
I've never needed to be a minister. You know, although I did coin the phrase Minister of Fun, it isn't always...
It was in good spirit, yeah.
It was indeed, but it isn't always fun, I can assure you. What I've said, and I will continue to say to the members of my constituency, is if they wish to support me, and I hope they do, I hope they look at my record over 20-odd years rather than looking at the difficulties which I've had to encounter latterly, if they look at that, I promise to do my best for the Isle of Man. I love the Isle of Man. I have the Isle of Man running through my very being. And so anything I can do to make sure that this lovely island of ours continues to prosper, I want to do. And so if that means me taking on a role as a minister, or if it means me working in some other capacity If I'm fortunate enough to be re-elected, then that's what I'll do.
Well, would you take any role offered to you? Because I think about 10 years ago, you sort of refused a ministry once.
Well, I have refused one in the past on the basis that I didn't see that I could actually influence or change things because it was one which is purely administrative and didn't require, in my opinion, much political input.
Just finally then, why in a succinct fashion, why should the people of South Douglas vote for you on September the 29th?
Well, I've always used the strap line, if you like, the man you know and trust. And people do know me. They know that they can stop me. They know they can get me any time. I'm very accessible. And they know that they can trust that whilst I won't win everything, I'll certainly give it my best effort. And I'm always there for them. And hopefully they'll continue to place their trust in me.
South Douglas MHK, your Community, Culture and Leisure Minister David Cretney, thank you for being our guest on Agenda this evening.
Thank you, it's my pleasure.
A very good evening.
Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio.